Hi, my name's Gary S. I'm an alcoholic. That is by my own admission and acceptance. I'm an alcoholic, but I don't have to drink. That is because I received a spiritual awakening and recovered from alcoholism by God's grace and power through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and the love and support of fellowship. And it's good to be here. It's always good to participate in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's obviously a very important part of my life. I guess I'll with 20 minutes, I'll just kind of get right to it. I was raised on a small farm. We raised corn. We had cows, chickens, pigs. It was a good time growing up. I mean, I never felt I needed for anything. There was no ruckus around the house. It was a good family upbringing, but I always knew there was something wrong with me. I was dumb, shy, afraid. Life was just too big for me. Everybody was a step ahead of me, and I couldn't make sense of anything. Wasn't because anybody told me that. That's just the way I felt. But that all changed when I turned 17. I was working at a Goodyear service store, busting tires, and the mechanic and service manager would go back in the back in the tire racks and drink beer in the afternoon. I went back there with him one day and started drinking beer with them, and everything changed. I felt eye to eye talking with the men. I felt comfortable, and it changed my whole perspective, and I ran with it. I had a love affair with beer for 25 years. Went through all the things that we go through. We all have our problems and foibles in drinking, but about a year before I was sent to Alcoholics Anonymous, I had had another drunk driving ticket, and work demoted me and threatened me with firing if I didn't get help for my drug or alcohol problem. And I thought, well, I quit taking drugs. I don't have a problem with alcohol. I don't know what they're talking about. And they told me to seek professional help. So I went to a doctor, and the doctor talked about enlarged liver and peptic ulcer and, he asked me how much I drank, and of course, I never told him what I really drank until I saw him after I got sober. But he said, well, I suggest you cut down a little bit. About the spring of that following year, I looked at all the things that were going on in life with the courts and my employer, my health and relationships and finance. I thought maybe I should stop drinking. But I thought I can't stop drinking yet. It's summer. I'll quit at the end of the summer. And it was in August of that year, after I had gone through I went through a couple of treatment centers, and I didn't, I just wasn't interested in that. I was just interested in getting out of trouble. In August of that year, I went to hang out with some drinking buddies and did what I usually do. And I got pulled over on my motorcycle, and I remember walking back to the motorcycle, or to the police car, and because I just wanted to keep riding. I didn't, I thought this is going to be it now. And the guy, they gave me the test on the street. I had never taken it before because I thought if you take the test, they can prove you're drunk. It never held them up before. They always proved me drunk. But anyway, I took the test, and the one cop said the man can really hold his liquor. And people would always talk about a hollow leg. Where do you put all that beer? But I wasn't feeling so good about it right then. And he said, I'm gonna have to arrest you for drunk driving. And I said, oh man, if you arrest me, everything's done. I'm gonna lose my job, lose my house, everything's over. He said, if I don't take you in, I'll be scraping you off down the road in a few hours. So they got me to jail, and I remember walking up to the guy that, they take your, you get the uniform, they take your clothes and all your stuff. And I always wore a lot of chains and rings. They were taking them, and I thought, man, I resisted because I thought they're gonna take that stuff, And they get it. They I don't, you can't stop them from doing what they do. But they put me in a cell, and the next morning, I thought, man, I'm stuck again. And they came about noon or one, I guess, and called my name, and I got out. And I went across the street to the party store to cash a check for the money that I had left in my pocket wallet. And I never called anybody because I didn't want anybody to know I was arrested. I bummed a ride from somebody to get back to my vehicle or get home. It turned out they hadn't impounded the vehicle. They had pulled it into a parking lot where I had ended up, and they left it sitting there. And it was a 16-ounce beer empty sitting on the dashboard. But I got home. I got cleaned up, got into work, and the one of the guys I was with that night called me, and he said, "What happened? Did they arrest you?" I said, "Oh yeah." He said, "It didn't seem like you were that drunk." I said, "Well, I guess I was." And I wasn't able to sleep. I would sleep for about an hour or so, and I'd wake up and wonder, what am I going to do? After about 3 days of that, I called my son because he was a senior in high school, and I had told him I was going to help him with his college, and I didn't think I was going to be able to do that. So I called him up, and we met for dinner, and I said, "Mike," I said, "you know how I said I'm going to help you with college?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, if I'm going to do that, I'm going to have to stop drinking, so I'm going to try." And he got up and came around the table and put his arms around my neck, and I'm looking around to see who's watching because I didn't hug men. And I felt better that night. I slept, and the next day I got into work, and I called the lawyer, and he said the usual thing, you know, bring me a check. I took him a check, and he said, "You're going to have to get in therapy in AA, or I can't keep you out of jail." And he gave me some the phone number for AA, and I had never been before. I didn't know what it was, but he told me to go, so I had an intention to go, so I didn't have to go to jail. That next day, I called my boss and said, "I need to talk to you," because I figured I'm going to need some time off work. And I got up in his office, and the HR manager was there, and my boss, and I didn't tell him what was going on really, but I just said, "I'm going to try to stop drinking," and the my lawyer told me I need to get in therapy, and they gave me the number for corporate to get into get a connection and so on. And they were I think they read our book, because even with all the trouble I was causing, they said, "If you need time, need to do anything, let us know. Just keep us abreast of what's going on." So the next day I called the or that day I actually I called the therapy, and I got in that following Monday. And I said, "You know, the lawyer told me I got to call AA. Do you know what that is?" Or so I don't remember what he told me, but he said, "You call him and get started." Well, it took me 3 or 4 weeks before I called AA. I kept seeing him. You know, every time I'd see him, he'd say, "Did you call AA?" I said, "Well, I'm going to call him tomorrow when I get to work." I finally got in, and I went. It was at an Alamo Club. My first meeting was on a Sunday night, and I was seeing that therapist on Monday, so thought I better go. I walked in, and it was to me it looked like my stomping grounds, like a bar with tables all over, a bar in the front and somebody working behind it. Somebody walked up to me, and we sat down, and I don't remember anything she said because I saw somebody walk in I knew from outside. I thought, "Oh man, he's going to tell everybody I'm here." And then I saw a lady walk in I knew from outside. I said, "Now there's two of them for sure, they're going to tell everybody." We got up and walked to the meeting room, and couple of people stood up, and they asked for newcomers, and they said their name, and they're an alcoholic. I said, "Well, I guess I got to do it." I stood up and said, "My name's Gary. I'm an alcoholic," and I thought my head was going to explode, as I thought, now I said it for sure, they're going to tell everybody, you know, I'm a drunk and I'm here. I got up and walked to the table and to the coffee pot, and this guy walked up to me with a piece of literature they used that had 12 steps in it, and he opened the first step. He said, "No, you're going to do this first step." And I started looking through it. I saw 4, 10. I said, "When do I do these other ones?" He said, "You just go back and sit down. Don't worry, you'll know." And I went back and sat down, and it was pretty sad. I mean, you know, people crying and complaining, lost this and didn't have this, and other man, these people got problems. And this guy said, "I've been coming around here 13 years," and I thought, 13 years? You ain't even got any cards on that table. What do you do for 13 years sitting here? I got 1 year. I'm going to get my health straightened out, work off my back, my license back, courts off my back. I'm going back out and live. But I thought, as long as I'm going to be here, I might as well try to help these people out. And people talk about get this piece, get a 12 and 12, read the 12 and 12. I said, give me that book. Somebody said, read the big book, first 164 pages. I said, give me that book. And I read it. I think I read it that night, and I started reading the stories. I thought, well, I'll hear about them when I'm sitting at the table. So, and I'd sit at tables, and for the first couple of months, I felt terrific. Like my problems are over. And then the reality of my life set in, everything was coming at me. And I was thinking about drinking, even planning drunks here and there. And that's when my sponsor came into my life. He grabbed a hold of me and started work with me. And he started talking to me about the program and the big book. I wasn't a believer. I believed life was just what you made of it. God to me was a big fairy tale. I thought life is you're born, you do things, you die, it's over, so do all you can while you're here. And that's how I was living. And he started to talk to me about things. And he started to take me into the book. And I started to listen to him. I was reading in the book, and he started getting me in the steps. I took the first step and the second and third step, and I got into the fourth step. It was somewhere in the second and third step that I didn't come to believe in God. I had thought, accepted just letters. I thought G-O-D, okay, there's something out there. I don't know what it is, but there's something. And it was somewhere in the second and third step that I had planned a drunk in circumstances. I got out of it. And I had an experience the next morning or that final Sunday morning. And when I talked to my sponsor, he said, did you thank God? I said, well, yeah, I thanked him. He says, no, did you get on your knees and thank him? I said, well, no. He said, why don't you try it? And I started then. I got into the four step with him. I took the four step was, as I think about it, it was the first time in my life I had ever taken an honest look at myself. I lived life blaming everybody else, excusing myself. They're the problem. I'm okay. And I lived in bars, so I'd go to the bar and have a few drinks and let's party. And that was what I did. All day at work, all I thought about was getting to the bar. The fifth step, I went to a retreat to begin with. Well, actually, no, that's not true. The first fifth step I took was with a lady who struck me as someone I could have confidence in, and so on. And I asked her to hear my fifth step, and we made arrangements one evening to do that. I did the fifth step, and the next day I called my sponsor and I said, "Tom, I did the fifth step last night." And he said, "Well, oh, good." He said, "Who'd you do it with?" I said, "I did it with Patty." He says, "Are you nuts? You can't do that with your girlfriend." I said, "It's already done, Tom." I didn't tell her everything that was in my four step because I thought if I did, I'd never see her again. But I got some stuff out, verbalized some stuff that I'd never said to another human being. I took three more fifth steps, two with people in a fellowship. And the final thing was with a priest at a retreat. Three things that I had never, two of them I never even wrote down. But I had initials on my four step about what they were. But I shared those with him and got everything out. And I moved on to the sixth and seventh step. The sixth and seventh step was to me where I got right with God. When I looked at the sixth step, I thought, who wouldn't be ready and willing? When I saw what I had, who I was in the fourth and fifth step, I got to seven, and when I looked at the seventh step, I did the prayer. I remember getting out of bed one night, just beside the bed, and doing the prayer and getting back in bed. And I guess that's when I took it. The eighth step was my list that I got from my four step. When I started to write numbers down, I think I had about 30 names written down in my. I thought I had an AA record. I called my sponsor. I says, "Tom, I got 30 names written down in my eighth step." He said, "Call me when you got 100," and he hung up. And I started making the amends. I dragged my feet. but I picked some easy ones at first, with people that were still my friends, and that kind of opened the door. I made all the direct amends that I could. There's several on the list that I don't know if I'll ever see the people again. Got into trouble in the bar. Something happened. I couldn't really, the next morning, I couldn't remember exactly what it was even. I mean, I couldn't pick the person out in a two-person lineup, but I knew something had happened. They're on my list, and if God somehow shows me a way to make that amend directly, then I hope that I step up and do it. I got to the 10th step, and I made I had created a problem at work with a one of the ma other managers, and I had treated him poorly. And I went back to, I got back to my desk and sat down. I thought, what are you doing? That's not what you're supposed to do. And I went back and I apologized to him, said I conducted myself poorly. I'm sorry for what I said. I'm going to try not to do that again. And we had a very tense relationship, but after that, our whole relationship changed. And that was good because our company had got bought out. And then about a month and a half after that, he was gone. So fortunately, I righted the relationship. I got to the 11th step, and it talked about prayer and meditation. And I had never had a prayer life, but I began praying because somebody had told me if you don't want to drink, you need to pray in the morning and at night. And I had a prayer book that I used because I thought those are the words he's going to understand. So I used that prayer book for a while. And meditation, I thought, I was always meditating because I think, as I said, when I would get to work in my drinking days, all I thought about was getting to the bar that night. That's all it was on my mind. And that to me is how meditation is. It says conscious contact from the time I wake up till the time I fall asleep. I need to be in conscious contact with my God. If I'm not, I'm going to hurt myself. I'm going to miss something. I may even wander off into the dark spaces. But so to me, meditation is just thinking. What am I thinking about? Am I thinking about the right things, good things, the program, the principles, the people I can help or contribute to life? Or am I thinking about myself? And that to me is the difference. When I got to the 12th step, my sponsor, got me into that. He got me. I was through the steps in my first year, and as soon as I got through the steps, he said, "Now you go find somebody to help. Do what I did for you." And I started right away, and
4 minutes, Gary.
people were not making it. So and I went to Tom. I said, "Tom, I must be doing something wrong. Nobody's getting sober." He said, "You just keep trying," and eventually, I understood enough, learned enough. People began to get well, and I have sponsored continuously for all that time, and I still sponsor, also just to help. You know, I guess that there's four things that I think will make my life, it's four principles that I see in our textbook: give of myself, help others, contribute to life, and serve your God. In my experience in this walk, if I try to do those four things, however falteringly, or I mean, I stumble and so on, but if I just continue to try to keep that in the front of my mind and my action in my life, I believe God will, it's all his deal to me. I'm only sober because of his power, but I'm sober that. Well, I'll put it this way. I'm so far from a drink, it ain't even funny because of his power. I can't fight it. I can't get away from it, but he's taken it. And as long as I continue to try to help others, give of myself, contribute to life, and try to serve him, learn and grow in relationship, I fully expect I'll be okay. Well, that's about all I have. I really appreciate your attention and the opportunity to share at a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. Thank you.